and Donna and Sister Tina and Uncle Lonnie and Brother Langston, and several of them have been talking about the history and what we've been taught, because we had the ability to hear it as a child. And along that, in that same vein, Parker, you and Jonathan, right now, or and Chandler back there, but he's still pretty young. I don't know if he'll be able to understand all of this. But there's some doctrinal things that are going to come out in just a little bit you need to pay attention to. Because there's going to come a time when Uncle Lonnie, Brother Langston, Brother Greg, and myself are not here. And for Langston, it came a whole lot quicker than he wanted it to when he lost his daddy. There's going to come a time where this knowledge, you're going to have to go back to it. Brother Langston's talked about we've been founded on certain principles, and we've been founded on the teaching, not man-made doctrines, but founded on the Word of God. And it's important that those doctrines based on the Word of God, not ideas and opinions, are what we pass down to our future generations, so that when it comes your time and you have to teach my children or my grandchildren, we know that we did our part in sharing what we were supposed to share. We're going to be in the book of Galatians, in the first two chapters of Galatians, but before we get there, I want to give you a history. We're going to spend some time talking about, so we talked about the early church as we know it when it was founded here in Memphis, but I want to go all the way back, Brother Lonnie, to the early church when it was established there on the day of Pentecost. And some of the things that they were experiencing back then in the first church when it was first founded. So I want us to go all the way back to there. And before we go back there in Galatians, you need some back knowledge to understand what Paul is trying to talk to, what he's trying to explain to the Galatians. And so that we can understand that, you need to know, before Jesus came, the Jews believed they were the only ones who had access to salvation. And they were right. Salvation was unto the Jews. You could either be born a Jew, or you could be converted to Judaism, which involved abiding by several laws and customs that they had, one of which was not eating any pork, so you couldn't have bacon, you couldn't have a barbecue sandwich, you couldn't have pork chops. And one of them was this law of what's called circumcision. And circumcision, with even if you were an adult man, if you wanted to convert to Judaism, you had to undergo circumcision to be able to be a part of Judaism. And that was the law. That was what was taught by Moses all the way until Christ came. Then Jesus Christ comes, and we find out that through Jesus, God is completing His plan of salvation. That salvation will no longer just be offered to the Jews, but it'll be offered to the Samaritans and to the rest of the world. And Jesus came, lived a sin-free life. They crucified Him on a cross. He raised from the dead after 3 days. And after He was risen from the dead, just before He ascended up to His Father, in the book of Acts, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So there was, Jesus is explaining to them that After I go away, the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. After he goes away, we get to the second chapter of the book of Acts, and that is the day that the first time in this world that the Holy Ghost had been given with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We see that there were devout men, Jewish men from all over the world that had gathered into Jerusalem, and they were there celebrating this Pentecost festival. And while they were there on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were up in an upper room, and they were tarrying just like what Jesus told them to do. And then suddenly a sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they all received the Holy Ghost. So right there, what Jesus told them was going to happen in Jerusalem and Judea, it was fulfilled on that day. The very first Pentecost that took place when the New Testament church was established. And at that point, it was just the Jews who had received the Holy Ghost. There were no Gentiles. There were no Samaritans. It was just the very beginning of that verse. Only the Jews had received the Holy Ghost. Then you go on a little later on and you get to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and you find out that the word of God has gone out to the Samaritans, and the Samaritans were relatives to the Jews, but they were only half-blood Jews. They had married with people of other races and other religions, and the true-blooded Jews believed that they were only half-bloods and that they had no right to this salvation. But the Holy Ghost came to them. The Word of God came to them. Jesus said it was going to come to them, and it did. And Philip went down and preached unto them Jesus, and then Peter and another one, I can't remember which one, came down, and when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. Next, we get to Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, there's this man named Cornelius who is not a Jew. He grew up, he was of the Italian band, and he was not Jewish at all. But he feared God and believed in God, and was praying to God, and God sent him the Word of God so that he could also receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter came down and preached to him, and he received the Holy Ghost down there. And at that point, when Cornelius received the Holy Ghost, remember, Cornelius was not a Jew, so he was not circumcised like the Jews were circumcised. He was a Gentile. And the Word of God came to him. He believed the Word of God. And the Word of God also came to Peter and let Peter know that Cornelius could receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter received the Holy Ghost Cornelius received the Holy Ghost at Peter's preaching. So, just before we found out about the Samaritans having received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 8, we're also introduced to a guy named Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a Jew. He had grown up in the Jewish religion, had even been trained as a Pharisee, one of the most religious sects of the Judaism, and was highly knowledgeable in all the laws and all the customs, and he knew exactly all of the laws of Judaism. And when he first heard about Christianity, he thought it was sacrilege that somebody would teach something that like what Jesus was teaching. And he felt it was his calling from God to destroy Christianity. And he went out and persecuted the churches. And one of the very first martyr that we know of is a guy named Stephen. And Stephen delivered a New Testament sermon about the grace of Jesus Christ, and the Jewish people were so offended by what he said that they literally stoned him to death for delivering the Word of God. And when the Bible says that Saul was there consenting unto his death. So he was there and he was consenting unto the death of this man who died preaching the Word of God. But just a little bit later, The Word of God teaches us that the grace of God has that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. That grace appeared unto Saul, and that light shone down from heaven, and he heard the word of the Lord, and he believed the word of the Lord, and eventually he, Saul, received the Holy Ghost, and his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And Paul then, a few chapters later in Acts, we find out that the Lord led Paul and another gentleman by the name of Barnabas over into an area. He led them to go on what was called Paul's first missionary journey. And in Paul's first missionary journey, he goes over to a place. Part of where he goes is to this region called Galatia. And he's going to the Gentiles in this region called Galatia. So there's several cities throughout Galatia. And he's going over to this region called Galatia. And so we're going to pick up right here. That's the backstory of where we start with Paul talking to the Galatians. He's gone over to Galatia. He's helped establish churches in Galatia, developed a relationship with these people in Galatia. And then he's gone on along in his missionary journeys to other places, and he gets word back that something has come in to Galatia that he needs to talk about. And this is where we pick up here in Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So the churches that he helped establish in the region of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said, as we said before, say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So there is, Paul went in and preached the grace of Jesus to the Galatians. After Paul left, a group of people came in and started preaching something other than the grace of Jesus, what Paul had preached to them. And he's saying, I'm surprised that you're so soon removed from this foundation that I've placed you on. And Brother Langston is exactly right. We've been very fortunate up here that doctrines have come, and they've come throughout the years, and our leaders have kept them out and have kept them from coming in. And because they knew the Word of God and how to keep it from coming in among us. So part of what I'm praying that is happening today, and I know that was a long introduction and I might have lost you, I'm sorry, but part of what I'm trying to accomplish is to pass down that knowledge so that in years to come, if things were happening in the very first church like this, do not be surprised that things will continue to happen. They're going to continue to happen like this, and things will try to enter in among us. But I'm thankful for the leadership that we have that does not and is not willing to let things, false doctrines, come in among us. But I want to be sure that we teach the future generations so that you know how to withstand these doctrines when they come. Because Brother Langston is exactly right. The Word of God says that He will bring back to our remembrance what it is that we need at the point that we need it. But for it to come back to our remembrance, we must first have either heard it or read it in the Word of God. It doesn't just poof, show up in your head. You have to have studied to show yourself approved, a workman which unto God which needeth not to be ashamed. You have to have spent the time studying under someone who is teaching you, studying the Word of God and knowing what the Word of God is. It doesn't just poof come into your mind if you've never read it before. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that it will come to your mind. He'll bring it back to your remembrance, meaning that at some point you've already studied it. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but I received the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So he's going back and telling people, so you know how much I persecuted the church. I tried to destroy the church and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So he knew all of the traditions, all of the customs, and he was wholeheartedly going after those traditions. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So he went to the children of God in Arabia and Damascus first, and then went up to Peter. You remember we talked about Peter before, who was what he says is the rock. Jesus calls Peter the rock. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So at least 14 years after him being converted to Christianity, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Paul goes up and is talking to the people at Jerusalem, talking to the apostles and the people who were first given the Holy Ghost, people who had a Jewish heritage and believed that to be a Jew, you had to be circumcised. Paul and this brother, Titus was a Greek. He was not Jewish. He had not been circumcised. And they go up to meet with the brethren, and none of the brethren there caused Titus to be circumcised. This is part of the argument that Paul is laying out. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So there were a group of people that were coming in trying to teach the Galatians that even though you've received the Holy Ghost, if you don't circumcise yourself, I don't care if you've received the Holy Ghost, you cannot be a child of God. That's what they were trying to teach them back then. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So they were trying to bring them under the bondage of the law that they were no longer bound by, because now through Jesus we are no longer bound by the law, but are under the grace of Jesus through faith in Him. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with us. And that's been the history of, I'm gonna come back to that in just a minute. But of these who seem to be somewhat, meaning that they seem to be powerful individuals, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the, they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. God had sent Peter to preach to those of the circumcision, to the Jews. That's what God told him, and that's what he was doing, was preaching to the Jews. And God also sent the Paul to the Gentiles, to those that were not of the circumcision. I turned my page. Sorry. And when James, Cephas, whose name is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So the parallel that I'm trying to bring is that there are other holiness churches that are out there. And let me see if I've gotten to the place where he has said, verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So Peter knew that it's not okay to teach circumcision. But when people came down who believed that, he separated himself from the Gentiles and only ate with the Jews, and caused a division there where Peter and Paul were. But when I saw that they walked, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou be a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are the Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So, what I want you to see out of that is Paul was talking to two different groups of people. Some of them, he said, were false brethren. Some of the group was the rock, Peter. I mean, this guy was Jesus' right-hand man. He was instrumental, and he was the one who preached the very first New Testament sermon. So you have two groups of people that are being affected by this doctrine of circumcision. There are other holiness churches that are out there that hold to a doctrine of no divorce, no remarriage, no matter what. They believe that once a man and a woman get married, no matter if one of the spouses was unfaithful, they believe that that unfaithful spouse can go out, sleep with as many people as they want to, and then the faithful spouse is required, as long as that person is alive, to take that person back and to live with them and enjoy the fruits of marriage still. And that's not at all what the Word of God teaches. That's one of the things that doctrine is one of the things that separates us from other holiness churches. The doctrine of no divorce, no remarriage. Because we understand through the Word of God, he says, except for fornication. Meaning that there is an exception in there that if there was an unfaithful spouse, the faithful spouse is no longer bound to that unfaithful spouse. But those who teach that doctrine of no divorce, no remarriage would look at several people in our congregation, and I'm saying collectively, our congregation here in Valamosa and in the Flintville, they would look at them who had an unfaithful spouse, and the Word of God teaches that they can get remarried, and they did get remarried. People who hold to that doctrine of no divorce, no remarriage will look at those children of God that we fellowship with and say there is nothing to them, and will say that they do not have the Holy Ghost. So does that mean that those churches don't have good holiness people in it? No. That's not what it means at all. I take away from what Paul is telling me here is that you had some people that were false brethren that were coming in unawares, trying to rob them of the liberty that they had. But then you also had people like Peter, who was a rock. I mean, you can't get much more famous in the Word of God than Peter being right there with Jesus. And he was a rock-solid child of God. So I am not, and please don't misunderstand me, there are good children of God in these other churches. I fully believe it. I believe that there are good children of God in there. But the reason our pastors have talk to us, especially to our younger people, about not visiting these other churches is because specifically of that doctrine of no divorce and no remarriage. Now, there's other things that are different culturally There's things that are culturally different, and we can work through some culturally different things. That's okay to have culturally different things. And as long as they don't come in and try and this is how it is that you can't wear short sleeve shirts, or you can't, you know, if you, just exactly what Brother Langston talked about, as long as they don't come in saying this is how it has to be, then we don't have a problem fellowshipping with that. But what we cannot allow is for someone to come in and stand up from behind the pulpit and begin to proclaim the doctrine that there is no divorce, no remarriage under the Word of God, because that's a false doctrine. And that doctrine has caused so much heartache in our churches for years. For years. Aunt Donna, you talked about Brother Alf. You know why Brother Alf waited so late in life to get married? Is because had he got married, he would not have been able to go out and preach to those other holiness churches who held to that doctrine of no divorce, no remarriage. He intentionally withheld getting married until his wife passed away so that he would be free to go and be a help to these other holiness churches, because he helped establish, like Paul, my understanding is he went out and helped establish a whole host of holiness churches out there. Memphis being one of them. He helped establish this church. But there are people in our congregations today that are not able to worship with their family, who have the Holy Ghost, because their family goes to a church that believes the doctrine no divorce, no remarriage. And there is great heartache in that family because they might have grown up and their children and been able to go to church together, like these little kids right here, and might have all been able to enjoy church together, but then that doctrine came in among the family. And part of their family believed that doctrine, and then a situation came up where there had to be a stance taken, and the people who believed that doctrine then said, these other people don't have the Holy Ghost and we can't worship with you anymore. And it's caused tremendous heartache still to this day. I mean, it's in our churches right now. Still, the history of it is having its effects. So the danger that we have, just like Paul with the circumcision, and I'm thankful that the brethren, that we dwell in unity together and that we know we're not going to allow that type of thing to come in. I have no doubt. I don't. I have zero doubt that we're going to allow a doctrine like that to come in. But and when people come to visit us, let's be good to them. Be good to them. Love them. We don't know if they can be a help to us or if we can be a help to them. We can be good to them and we can love them. And maybe if they hold to that doctrine of no divorce and no remarriage, it might be like what happened with Brother David, because Brother David over in Flintville, he was taught, don't go to Valamosa. Those people teach it's okay to live in fornication. And that's not at all what we've been teaching. But that's what he's been told through that doctrine of no divorce, no remarriage. But the Lord sent him down there to Valamosa, and he came down there, and he said that, if I remember right, Brother Langston, you might can correct my story, but I don't believe his tongue had run in a long time since he had received the Holy Ghost. And he came down there to Valamosa and he began to pray in that service, and the Lord freed him up and his tongue began to run, and God let him know these people have the Holy Ghost, and what they're teaching, the doctrine that they're teaching, that it is okay to remarry if you've been divorced because of an unfaithful spouse. He says, that's not a lie. It's backed up by the Word of God. And he said, these people are not teaching it's okay to live in adultery. The Lord showed him and opened his eyes to it. And there's a chance that when people come in and visit with us, that the same thing can happen with them. There's a chance. But there's also a chance that there's that other group of people that were false brethren who had snuck in unaware to deprive them of the liberty, of the freedom that we have, that they have. There's the chance that that will also come in. And I believe that the leadership here is not going to allow that type of doctrine to come in and be taught. I have no doubt that if it were to be taught, if anyone were to ever try to talk it, it would be shut down. I have no doubt about that. But there is a responsibility that's placed on the overseer of the church. And at this point, that all falls on Brother Lonnie right now. And it's important to know when we bring people in, what doctrine do they hold to? Do they believe this doctrine of no divorce, no remarriage? It's important to understand that so that you know what you're up against. And if we're going out and visiting other churches, and in particular those that are on the freeholiness.net website, if you go to that website, you can pull it up on your phone right now, freeholiness.net, and there is on there their statement of faith. In their statement of faith, it says no divorce, no remarriage, period, whatsoever. And there are a list of churches that claim that doctrine of faith. And if that list is one of the churches that you've been visiting, know that there is a huge danger that you're stepping into. And that's part of the warning that I believe God has wanted me to deliver today, is be very careful. Be very, very careful, because I'm not saying that they don't have the Holy Ghost. They could be rock solid children of God. But I am saying they're holding to a doctrine that is not backed up by the Word of God. And more than likely, at some point, and it may not be immediately, it may be a generation down the road when your kids are grown, there may be a time where that doctrine has to be addressed with them. And someone like Paul comes in and has to confront the Peter over there, the rock solid person, and it turns into a huge dispute. Because, I mean, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened in the Word of God. Paul had to confront Peter, not privately, publicly. I mean, he did it. He didn't go to him and just have a small conversation with him. He was pretty bold and in their face and said, "Hey, dude, you're causing a problem." And if you're going to a church like that, that believes that doctrine, then there very likely will come a time in your life where that's going to be a major issue. And it may not be with you right now, but it could be something that happens with your children later on, where it makes it where you are no longer able to go and fellowship and have church freely with your children because they've married into a family that believes that doctrine of no divorce and no remarriage, because that's who your children grew up with. Those were the friends that they were around all their life. Those were what they were subject to. And it will cause tremendous heartache. But thankfully, I'm going to try and close this out. Thankfully for that too. I'm going to try and close this out. Because And at some point, maybe the Lord will allow me to come up and talk a little bit on the doctrine of divorce and remarriage. And if you want to talk to me, I'd be more than happy to sit down and talk to you about it. But that's a long, long discussion. And I'm more than happy for us to sit down and discuss it. But over in verse 16, he said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That's what these false brethren who had come in, they were trying to convince people that you needed to be justified by the works of the law. That's what's happening with these individuals who are saying no divorce, no remarriage. They're saying you're bound by the law as long as the husband liveth. That was the law, but we are no longer bound by that law. We are free from that law. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So to those of you that are seeking for the Holy Ghost, what he's saying right there. And this is a very important thing to understand, is you cannot live good enough to ever be worthy of receiving the Holy Ghost. You can't live free from sin for so long and say, look, God, how good I've lived for this long and I deserve the Holy Ghost. That is you trying to earn your salvation. You cannot earn your salvation. It is a free gift, and it is only by the faith in the grace of God that we receive the Holy Ghost. And part of that faith is the obedient works of repentance. When we have faith, we are obedient. We believe and we obey what Jesus has told us. And one of the things that he tells us is to repent. So we repent, we turn away from all of our sin, whatever it is, whatever the sin is. And it may not be something horrible. You may not be going out sleeping around with other people or murdering or stealing. It may just be pride. It may simply be the pride of your life that you think you know better than everybody else does. And he says, repent of these things, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's through faith in the grace of Jesus. You don't have to, and that's the amazing thing about this. It doesn't take months and months and months and months of a process. You can have it today. You can have the Holy Ghost right here today if you completely repent of all of your sin. Never to go back to that sin again, and believe in Jesus. Believe in him for the saving of your soul, and you will no longer be bound by that law of Moses, but then you know also no longer be bound by the law of sin. You're no longer bound by that sin that's in your past. It's there, but it's never to be mentioned again. Never to have to worry about it again. The Lord casts it in that sea of forgetfulness. And never again do you have to worry about it. If it comes back to your mind, you know that's not the Lord bringing it back to your mind, because he said, I have forgiven you, and it is cast as far away from you as the east is from the west. If it's being brought back to your mind, it's because the devil is bringing it back to your mind, trying to beat you down. But you can say, Lord, I've repented of that, and I have not gone back to that. I'm not going back to that sin, and I'm no longer bound by the law of sin. It no longer rules in my life. The law of sin is done and away, and now I'm under the grace of Jesus. And Lord, how good it is to be a child of God and be under that grace of Jesus Christ. Brother, I need to get out of the way. I appreciate y'all's patience with me. I know that was rather long and drawn out, and I apologize for, but I want to make sure that you understand what you're up against, because false doctrines tried to come into the first church. False doctrines will try to come into this church. It does not mean that some of those people don't have the Holy Ghost. That's not what I'm telling you. We want to be good to people. We want to love people and hope and pray that they will come in, hear the truth, and receive the Holy Ghost. But we also want to know what we're dealing with. It's important to understand what we're dealing with. And not to just... Paul said, I didn't give them space for not even an hour. If I knew that that's what they held to and they were going to start possibly talking that, it's completely within our right and our responsibility to not give them space, just like what Paul did, not even for an hour. That's not being mean to people. That's protecting the flock. But if there's a chance that they will hear the word of God, come in and be among us. We don't have a problem fellowshipping with you. If you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we believe you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost with that evidence of speaking in tongues. It's them that have the issue believing some of our people have the Holy Ghost. And we want to be real careful not to let that doctrine, and it slowly creeps in. It doesn't just come in. The person won't show up the first time, stand up behind the pulpit and say, if you believe that, no divorce, and you can get remarried, you're going to hell. They're not going to do that. They're not going to walk in and say that from the pulpit on the very first time they're here. It takes time for these things to manifest themselves. And that's why it's important to know who it is we're dealing with. But the good news is that the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Word of God that went out on Sachs Road by Brother Alf is the exact same Word of God that's still going out here right now. And what that means is that this altar is the place where you can come down and you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and go home a child of God, never to have to worry again about the sin that is in your past. Also, never to have to worry again, Brother Lonnie, what happens if on the way home the good Lord sees fit to call me on? If He sees fit to call me on, I can say, now, Lord, I've done what I believe You sent me to do. I sounded the warning, I gave the trumpet, I let the blast, and I let them know. But then I can also say, Lord, into Your hands I commend my soul. I can say that I know that one day, down on Highway 51, April 25th, 1994, the good Lord baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And ever since then I've known that I've got a home in glory, and the longer I live, the more I realize that this world is not my home. This world is not my home, and I am just a short time here. Even if it's 50 years from now, I'm just a short time here. But I've got a better home waiting on me in glory, and it's glorious. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that eye hath not seen nor ear heard. And there's mansions that are there, and we each have our own mansion. But there's the peace of God that is so hard to find out there in this world. We won't have to go through, Brother Langston, all the trouble and the turmoil and the daily grind that's just killing our bodies mentally and physically. We won't have to go through any of that up there. It'll be joy and peace and love forevermore with the Holy Ghost and with our Lord and Savior. Lord, don't you want that? Don't you want that? Don't you want to have that peace of God in your heart? And when you're working, when you're going out and having to deal with people who don't have a bit of peace about them whatsoever, but you know, I've got that peace of the Lord deep, deep, deep down in my heart that He says passes all understanding. You can't even comprehend it. It just passes all understanding. And then every now and then, Aunt Donna, every now and then He lets us feel just a little foretaste of what heaven's going to be like. Just a little bit. And we felt it here just a little bit ago. And I feel it right now. I'm thankful for what I feel. We get to feel just a little foretaste. If it was all of what heaven would be like, we wouldn't be able to stand it. Our earthly bodies couldn't handle all of the joy that we're going to have up there in heaven. But he says every now and then we get to have that joy unspeakable, that we can't explain it to people. And all of a sudden you just hear somebody let out a glory. Glory to God. Amen. And that power of God begins to just pour down among His children, and we get to enjoy, feasting and enjoy what it's going to be like in heaven forevermore. That feeling that we have just a little bit of down here in our physical bodies, can't take much of it. That's what it's going to be like day after day after day, Aunt Doshi. That old body that you have, glory to God, that old body that is withering away and time has taken its toll. It's going to go back to the dust from which it came, but that soul is going to go back to God who gave it, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious, and she's going to be able to run around and to just enjoy resting by that river of life, to enjoy Aunt Donna spending time with Uncle Johnny again, spending time with your mama again. Glory to God. And it's not even time, it's eternity. So you don't have to measure it. It's not going to be, I've only got just a little bit and then I got to go here. You can sit and visit as long as you want to visit and enjoy the fellowship of the Lord together. And Lord, how good it is. That's what I'm looking forward to, Uncle Lonnie. And I am looking forward to one of these days being able to meet my Jesus in peace. And I hope that you make your calling and your election sure today, because you can have the Holy Ghost, and the Lord may have a job for you to do down here for a little bit of time. It may be hard to do the job. It was hard for Paul to do his job. He suffered and suffered and suffered for the job that he had to do, but the Lord laid up for him a crown of righteousness, a crown of rejoicing, and now all that suffering has paid off because he's in eternity with his Lord. And you can make that calling and that election sure today. But Lonnie, I need to get out of the way. I love the Lord.